Hey, welcome to Mended Futures, where real stories remind us that broken doesn't mean the end. It's just the beginning of something new.
I'm Evan Bergener.
And I'm Liz Mahan. We're the new season two hosts, and together our goal is to share powerful, true stories of resilience, redemption, and hope.
Each week, we'll walk with people through the valleys and celebrate the moments when light breaks through.
Because every future can be mended, one story at a time.
Before we start, we definitely want to give a shout out and a sincere thank you to last season's hosts, our good friends, Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, for all the stories they shared and the heart that they brought to Mended Futures.
Yay, Allison and Taylor. In season two, you're going to be hearing different voices, but we do have the same mission, which is to share powerful, true stories of hope and reconciliation with people in our community.
Each month, we'll step into the real stories of people who've faced the breaking point and found a way forward. Now, to kick off the season, we're going to take a deeper dive into our new hosts, starting with Liz Mahan. I've worked closely with Liz for more than a year now, and fun fact, this is the second time I'll technically be interviewing Liz. The first time I got to interview Liz was when we were looking for our new donor care coordinator, and Liz was one of the candidates at the time. And through getting to talk to Liz through that process, she seemed very sincere and very kind up front. And through her entire time here, I would say that has been very true of you so far.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I also remember in that interview, I awkwardly just didn't shake your hand for some reason. I blacked out and I think I felt bad. My hands were sweaty. So I skipped right over you and then shook our now boss's hand.
Honestly, my hands were probably just as sweaty, so it was just fine that we didn't. But that did not sway my thinking one way or the other on you. So that's been really cool. But tell me a little bit about the time prior to that moment, like prior to you working at 518. Describe your journey to getting here.
Yeah, so I moved to Lynchburg from Philly, moved here in 2017. And I moved here to go to Liberty, which I studied religion. I thought I wanted to work in church ministry and was very passionate about that for a really long time. And then senior year, I had kind of the crisis that I feel like every senior has in college of what am I doing with my life? I don't know what's going on. So senior year, which was in 2021, I got involved in the nonprofit world in Lynchburg and just never looked back. Like, I love it so much. So before this, I worked at Church Street Bridal, which is a fundraising bridal salon for YWCA Central Virginia. Loved what I got to do there. I worked there for about 3 years and some change. And it was just so great knowing that not only do I get to encourage people and help people find their wedding dress, but also know that what I'm doing is making an impact in the community as well. So when I was looking for other opportunities, came across 518 and was so excited, especially when I met the team, like what Evan was saying in the interview, I got to meet him and got to meet Sarah, who's our boss, and really just fell in love with the team culture, fell in love with the work culture here. And yeah, I'm having a good time. It's been a year and some change and very happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It seems like once both Liz and Melina came on board, I came on board before either of those two. But once the entire donor engagement team came together, it's just been such a natural fit. So it's been really cool here. And I love hearing about your previous role and kind of how you loved like encouraging people that are about to get married. They're trying to find their dresses. And through your new role, you kind of get to do that with our donors.
For
you get
sure.
to encourage them, come alongside them, listen to where their heart is, mm-hmm. And why it is that they feel led to support us. Mm-hmm. And that's a really cool thing and such a natural fit for you.
Thank you.
But there are, just like any job, there are some challenges mm-hmm. that come with that. What are some of the challenges that you've kind of encountered during your year and change here?
Yeah, I think one thing that's been a big learning curve for me is just that donor engagement in general is the long game, that you have to plant the seeds of relationships because you don't want people to feel like your relationship with them is solely transactional. And it's like, hey, I'm talking to you because you give us money. That is not the goal of 518 or of my own. So I think a challenge is kind of having the patience and being okay with celebrating small victories. And success is kind of measured differently every day. So success might be listening to someone's story on the phone, or success might be connecting with someone I haven't connected with yet. But I think that's a challenge, is I'm a very instant gratification person. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. But just learning patience and learning that people need time. People can move at the pace that they want to when it comes to relationships. So that's been one thing for sure, is I feel like this role very much has been teaching me patience and what that looks like.
Absolutely. It's been an adjustment for everybody, for a lot of our team. It's been the first job in the nonprofit world or in donor engagement. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is that long game. And when a lot of the world is very just instant results driven, like if a phone call doesn't generate a certain result, then like we just need to head a different direction.
For sure.
This is very much not that case. And that's something I'm very grateful for, that you and Sarah and the rest of the team embody very well, is just like, it's not just trying to ask for money all the time. It's just, you know, just getting to know the people, getting to know their heart. And that's something you guys do really well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very relationship led, which I very much appreciate. And that's also why I'm really excited when we were presented with the opportunity to potentially be hosts for this show. I was very excited that we get to form relationships with people externally and hear their stories, because I feel like with my role now, it's like I get to do that really often every day, is like hearing stories from our donors. So was very excited about being a host here. Yeah, so very excited to see what this season holds and the people that we meet and the connections. So absolutely. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, it's another really cool new thing that we get to do, something different.
For sure.
What other areas of growth can you think of while you've been at 518? What things are you proud of that you've done so far?
I think one thing that I'm the most proud of is establishing a personal network. I think it's really hard coming in, especially as someone who's on the younger side of like the professional world, trying to break into that world. It can kind of feel very intimidating, but I'm really proud of myself for pushing and going to networking events or grabbing lunch with people or coffee, and just trying to be as diligent in that as possible and working through that. And I'm starting to see that kind of pay off and having connections with people. And I don't feel out of place at networking things, which is really cool. But again, kind of like what a challenge has been that I mentioned in my role, it's so much the long game. So I'm proud of myself for keeping at it and pushing myself and meeting incredible people through networking and just being persistent with that. And yeah, so I would say that's something that I'm really proud of. Another thing that I'm really proud of is I feel like our donors are getting an extra layer when it comes to hospitality. Because like we thank our donors, of course, thank you for your generosity. This is the impact you're making. But going the step further and making them feel heard and sharing their stories with me. I think that's something I'm really proud of, is they can feel connected to the people that operate within 518. So that's something that I'm like really proud of too, that I've been trying to do for the past year. So yeah,
definitely. One thing you kind of mentioned during that is just making sure that people are heard, and that's something that is kind of a reoccurring theme. I know you a lot of the time talk about making sure people are seen, making sure people are heard.
Yes.
And that definitely comes through in what you do on a day-to-day basis. And I'm just curious, like, is that a very intentional thing, or is that more of just kind of that's always the way you've been?
Yeah. I like saying the thing around the office too, of like, take up space. And I know it's kind of become like a joke, like we'll joke around with each other about take up space, but it is so true. To answer your question, yeah, I think I grew up as a very shy kid, super shy, kept to myself. And yeah, I was just really, I think, afraid to be myself and be seen in like a way of not being perfect or not having my life together. So I wanted to present this like perfect appearance of just being a good student, getting good grades, having my life together, when I very much didn't. So I think one thing that I've been learning the longer that I've been a human is that vulnerability really is a beautiful thing, and you can be seen, and you're not exposed. Like there is a way that you can trust people with that vulnerability of, hey, I don't have my life together and you probably don't either. So like, love that for us. Like, but yeah, so I want people always around me to feel like they can be fully themselves and not feel like they have to put up a front, because that's something I've struggled with. It's something I'm actively working through. We do love therapy, and working through that and knowing that it's okay to not have it perfect because the people around us don't require that to love us, but also like the Lord doesn't require that of us either. Like we don't need to have this perfect presentation of ourselves. Like we're loved fully for who we are. We're not loved for what we're doing or the persona we're putting on. It's like we're loved for us. So I think that's just something I'm passionate about, is people can be themselves around me. And there's no expectations of anything. Just come as you are, as cliche as that sounds, but I'm really big on that for people being around me.
No, that's great. I mean, like we say some things are cliche, but some things become cliche because they're so true.
For sure.
And that's probably one of them. But I also love seen but not exposed.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool way of kind of looking at things and a really cool motivator and a good lens to kind of operate just as a person.
Thanks.
So that's a really cool perspective you have.
I came up with that on the spot.
That was
okay.
Impressive. That was very good. This sort of kind of blends into what you were talking about, but something we always ask anybody in this organization and a lot of people outside when talking about their hearts is kind of, what is your why?
Yeah.
If there's anything in addition to kind of what you were already talking about, meaning like, is what motivates you in life? What gives your actions meaning, and what impact do you want to have on the world? What is your why?
I think my why is making people around me feel encouraged and empowered. I think it's such an easy thing for me to encourage people. And I think that's what I want, is when people interact with me, it's, wow, she was full of light and she made me feel really good about myself, not in a flattery way, but like spoken to my worth and who I am. So that's 100% my goal. And also just loving like Christ, you know, and that means being long suffering, and that means being with people in their messy. And I think that's something that I really enjoy about working here at 518, is like we walk into the mess and we're not afraid to do that. And I'm very, very passionate about mental health. I'm very passionate about mental wellness and people having resources that they need. And I think that it's so common to see when it comes to mental health resources that everything is very expensive. There's a ton of barriers with it, so people often don't even try. But one thing I love about us is we eliminate those barriers as much as possible. And people are getting access to things that they need, and seeing the work and the impact of preventative services, which is like totally our model at 518 of what we do. It's just like really cool to see. I really like it, because in my other job previously, it was more reactive services, which is like there's such a place for that. And that's good. And that's actually so needed. But if we can get to the root of something, I think that's really special. So that's my why for working here, is just I love the model of walking with people in their messy. And the purpose for my life is like walking with people too, and making them feel really cared for. And I would say that's my why.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. I think having gotten to know you and your husband, Cam, you guys both definitely are great at, whether it's at your jobs or with friends, just like walking into the mess with people, coming alongside them, and yes, encouraging them. And you guys just are consistent in that, and you don't require anything in return for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really cool thing that I'll commend you guys on.
Thank you.
That's phenomenal. It's been great getting to know you guys so far.
Shout out to Camden.
Bestie Cam.
Yay.
Bestie Cam. Love that guy. But we've been talking about work for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
What about outside of work? What do you enjoy doing? What recharges the batteries? And what do you do just for fun?
Yeah. So story time. I realized in January of this year that I actually had zero hobbies. It was probably in the negative of no hobbies. I'm really, really trying to learn what rest looks like. And I think rest for me isn't just like sitting still and doing nothing. It's doing things with my hands or getting outside and expressing myself creatively. And speaking of Camden, my husband is very, he just picks up a million hobbies a day, I feel like. So I'm looking around of like, what do I do for fun? Well, I'm on Instagram, and that's not good. We don't love doom scrolling. So this year I've really prioritized like, what does it mean to invest in myself, and like, what does it mean to rest well? And what do I get enjoyment from? And a big part of what I did as a kid was just be so like fearlessly creative. I draw all the time. I was just having fun, you know, and telling stories and things like that. And I shut that part of me off. I think it was part of that vulnerability thing we talked about earlier. So trying to get back in touch with that. I saw something recently that was talking about the best way to find rest outside of what you do for work is getting back in touch with what you used to do as a kid. And I think that's just like the sweetest thing ever. So I'm getting back into drawing, and I like making collages and reading. I was the biggest bookworm in the world. So like reading is super great for me. And just getting in touch with that creative side too. So encouraging y'all, if you're struggling finding a hobby, just reflect on things that you used to do as a kid, because that's been helpful for me because I didn't even know where to start. So thinking about what you enjoyed as a kid and getting back in touch with that has been really, really restful for me. And then also being outside. I didn't think I liked being outside, but I love going for walks. So I would say that is, it's been a cool journey to see like these past couple months of what expressing myself can look like and what rest looks like for me.
That's a really cool way of looking at it. Looking back and seeing what you enjoyed as a kid. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, until I can run at full sprint and not pull a hamstring, maybe picking up baseball again might not be my thing. But there have to be other things I can look at. So I'll have to think about that and see what comes up. So Liz, we talked a little bit about your experience as a young professional in this space. And I bet there's a lot of crossover value between like not just being a young professional in the nonprofit space, but in any other business space. Mm-hmm. What's kind of been your experience with that? Have there been any challenges? And if so, how have you kind of navigated those?
Yeah, I think one thing walking into this role is just kind of getting used to being one of the youngest people in the room, representing Gen Z well. But I think that has been my experience. I feel like you and I are often, when we're in rooms, are the youngest people there. And I think there's like two mindsets you can have of imposter syndrome and feeling like, why am I in here? What the heck? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Which I fight all the time. Like I fight imposter syndrome a lot. Or looking at it of a perspective of, what can I glean? Like I'm here for a reason and I can take up space.
There it is.
But it's like you are invited into these rooms for a reason. And it's like if you weren't meant to be there, you wouldn't be there. So, and like you have things to offer as well. So I think of things as we're doing a lot of transitions within the organization. And sometimes I'll sit in those meetings feeling like I have nothing to offer. But I'm like, I'm learning so much. Like I feel like I'm getting an MBA just listening to some of our leaders in the organization. So it's been really cool. I feel like especially in 518, there's so many generations represented, which is a really cool learning opportunity, you know? And I think that there's been a really cool space made for us as like the younger people in the organization that we do get to bring our strengths and we're listened to. I feel like it was very, very intimidating to walk into more like external things and just kind of, I don't know, just considered maybe not as influential is just like how I would feel sometimes of if I'm trying to go up to someone and talk to someone, maybe I'm not regarded as much, that's nothing wrong necessarily, but I think it's also having confidence in yourself that if you can keep going and you can keep trying and you belong in those spaces as well. So you don't need to be fearing or lacking confidence, so because you're there for a reason. So I think that's something that I've been learning a lot when it comes to being a young professional is not changing who you are, and you're able to influence others around you. And I think that's modeled really well here is no matter generations, we get to influence each other and learn from one another. So yeah.
Yeah, I like what you were saying about the imposter syndrome, because I feel like that's something, especially for our demographic, I'm sure it is a thing across all generations, but for I feel sure. like it's become more of a thing as of late. People our age are always having that feeling. And even within our own team, we've had discussions of like, we all think we're not doing well at X, Y, and Z, and all we can see is like stuff we're doing wrong. Meanwhile, everyone else on the team is like, they are crushing it. Liz is doing a wonderful job. Yeah. Malia is doing a wonderful job. Yeah. Like,
and Evan.
And Evan, dare I say, is doing a wonderful job. But in that's not often reality. That's just something that's going on just in our heads. It takes a lot of effort to get out of there. So it's really cool that you've kind of found a way to navigate that. And when it comes to like those events where we're getting out and about, you're kind of like, what could I possibly bring to the table mm-hmm. when I'm talking to these people that are community leaders and whatnot? Mm-hmm. But it's our opportunity to listen. Mm-hmm. And the more we get to show up and the more we continue to show up and be mm-hmm. ourselves, like you're saying, then we can get to that point where we're like, hey, I've actually got this thing I can bring to the table. We can share ideas yeah. and build those relationships too. So yeah. that's a really cool way to kind of counterbalance that as well.
Consistency.
Consistency.
And bravery.
So brave.
Strong and brave.
Showing up. As far as your professional life or mm-hmm. your personal life, are mm-hmm. there any people that you've come across that have really kind of changed your mind on things or changed your outlook for the better? Are there people that you look up to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say personally is 100% my close group of friends. Kind of like what I touched on earlier is being seen and not exposed. We've created such good community together. We met in college, so I've known them for, I think, 8 years now, which is crazy. But I'm just so thankful for them of they have the voices that speak into me of, hey, you can grow in this and point that out, but lovingly, you know? And I think it's important to have those voices in your life that are speaking into potential areas or blind spots that you don't necessarily see, but they're calling you to higher and they're calling you to better. So I look up to them so much, even though they're technically my peers. It's y'all are modeling this so well for me, and it makes me want to be better, and I can empower you as well and speak into things and also celebrate wins really well. So I look up to them so much. I'm very thankful for them. And I would say professionally, I have the joy of having two jobs, actually, where I work here at 518 full time. And then I also do wedding planning with the Evergreen Collective. And I have such a joy of working with two incredible bosses. I feel like sometimes people, it's hard to come by having one incredible boss, but I have two and I'm very thankful. So I look up to both of them, Sarah and then Mariah, with the Evergreen Collective, of just how they model leadership so well and how they are just so humble. They're so knowledgeable. But I feel like one thing I really, really respect about the two of them is they don't gatekeep their knowledge. They share it. And then they also push you and empower you as well. And they don't push you before you're ready, but they push you before you think you're ready, which I really, really enjoy. So I look up to them so much. I would love to be both of them when I grow up. Yeah, but I'm very thankful for the people that I have in my life, both inside of work and outside of work, that I can look up to and be like, dang, like, you're amazing and I want to be like you. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can only speak into Sarah, but she mm-hmm. definitely has that. She leads with humility mm-hmm. and there was a huge learning curve for a lot of us getting this job in donor engagement.
Yeah.
And exactly right. Not once did she make us feel lesser than or stupid for not knowing mm-hmm. basic common practices.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a Libunt was before I got here, and I wasn't made to feel like an idiot for not knowing either.
For sure.
Last year, but unfortunately not this year for those listening. It's
Libunt.
Fun fact. But Sarah did a great job and continues to do a great job of doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool that you have not one, but two really good bosses. Some mm-hmm. people go an entire lifetime without someone like that. So
for sure.
We are very fortunate.
Yeah. And I think one thing too, jumping off of that, is the fact that when I was talking about imposter syndrome earlier and being younger, it's like the donor engagement team is a younger team. And the fact that Sarah brought us on and our leadership brought us on with very limited experience, you know, it's like they could have hired someone with a ton more experience, but the fact that they saw something in us too, it's like, so why do you have imposter syndrome? Like, your leaders are literally saying like, you are qualified to be here and you are enough. So I think that's really, really kind of them to see things in us that maybe we don't necessarily see all the time, for sure.
Yeah, usually other people recognize that you have something, mm-hmm. something greater to give before you do.
Truly.
And they definitely do that. What are some words to live by that you kind of, I guess, walk out mm-hmm. your life after?
Yeah.
Are there any phrases that come to mind?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is the phrase of just because it's scary doesn't mean it's bad. I feel like I wrestle, I don't feel like, I do. I wrestle with anxiety a lot and getting nervous and a lot of self-doubt. So when we were asked to be on this podcast and like be the host, I was like, sure. And then leading up to it, I was like, what did I commit to? I'm scared. But yeah, so I think genuinely, like, I was really nervous and this is like outside my comfort zone, but also it doesn't mean it's bad. And I think that's an important thing to remember is when you're embarking on new things, it's just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's bad. Just because it's scary doesn't mean it's bad, because it's like that's where we grow, is outside our comfort zone. So I think that's one thing that easily applies to this, is just because it's scary does not mean it's bad. So, and this is great. So, and I'm not scared, at least right now.
Right now we're not, but for the past several weeks that was not the case.
Yeah, strong and brave.
But I think that about wraps up the time that we have. Liz, do you have any parting words for the audience?
Guys, I'm actually so excited for this season. I know I said it earlier, but really excited for this opportunity. And I think it's going to be really great connecting with people that, you know, we don't know their stories, or people that we wouldn't think of as maybe influential positions or have C in their, like a CEO role or something like that. But I think it's going to be really cool connecting with people. And one thing I would love to encourage our listeners to do is finding one way to apply something that you heard in these upcoming episodes and put that into your day, put that into your life of how, what is one takeaway I can have to help someone else, to help someone work towards a mended future, to like help someone feel encouraged or impact my community in some way. So that's what I would encourage people to do. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to this season. I think it's gonna be really fun with you, Evan. And yeah, excited to hear people's stories and their voices.
Well, thanks, Liz. Thank you for sharing a little bit about yourself. And yeah, I'm excited to embark on this new journey, on this new season as well, getting to know people throughout the community and the awesome work that's being done throughout Lynchburg and surrounding areas. So thank you all for listening to Mended Futures. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yay!
The Mended Futures podcast is the production of 518 Family Services, formerly Patrick Henry Family Services in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our mission is to build communities of faithful relationships that ensure children are safe and families are restored.
Mended Futures are at the heart of who we are, our stories, our hope, and our vision. They aren't just stories we tell, they're something you can help create. When you give to 518, you're not just making a donation, you're stepping into someone's story. You're helping a family find hope, and you're helping our community heal.
Because of the generosity of people like you, reconciliation is happening in our community each day. Our donors further the mission of seeing every child with a thriving family supported by a faithful community.
We want to see mended futures for families in Lynchburg, Virginia, and the four surrounding counties. So we invite you to check out our website, 518.org/givemended. That's FIVE18.org/givemended. Join us in the Ministry of Reconciliation.